Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. And I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And thank you for being with us today. I have a great guest with me today. I'm very excited to introduce her. I met her at a conference, 2 to 3 weeks ago, wasn't it, Aditi?
Yeah.
And I wanted to spend more time with her. And I sense that there's something about Aditi that is as special. So here she is on the podcast, is Dr. Aditi Agarwal. She is co-founder of Practice by the Numbers. She's a practicing dentist. She is an innovator. She is an entrepreneur. And I love what you put on your LinkedIn account, your last one. And I'm going to put it with a great emphasis, mom. I love that, Aditi. You know, a lot of times when people introduce themselves or make reference to themselves, they leave that part out, that I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a wife. And, you know, those foundations are more important than what we do in dentistry. And raising a good family and being a great mom, being a great dad, for me, is bigger than dentistry, but it lays a ground, great foundation for us in dentistry. What I want to do, Aditi, introduce yourself to the audience, and you share with them what you want them to know about you.
Thank you, John, for this wonderful introduction. I am so honored to be here today with talking to you in, on your podcast. And, you know, my name, as you all know, is Dr. Aditi Agarwal. I'm a general dentist. I have been practicing dentistry for about 21 years. I have two startup practices that I still own and run. So, you know, for all of you out there who don't think it's possible. You just have to persevere through it. And of course, as John mentioned, I am also co-founder of a software company called Practice by Numbers. The software company does a lot for dentists because it is thought of and laid out by a dentist. And so this is one of my pet projects. It started out as being created for me, but then it grew to a point when I was like, I have to share it with my peers because it is just that good. It helped me in my practice so much. What it does is it does all the business intelligence or practice analytics for the practice, and it integrates with a couple of different practice management systems like EagleSoft, Dentrix, Open Dental. So it does the dentist-facing data, but also deals with data that is patient-facing. It does all your forms, your consents, your communications with email or text, and it writes back all of it into your PMS because guess what? Designed by a dentist, it was important that all these communications are in the PMS so that we don't have to go back and write it a second time. So that's really important. And of course, we do review generation, online booking, online payments, insurance verification in bulk, a ton of different things to make our lives as a dentist easier so that I can spend time doing the most important role in my life, and that is of being a mom.
That's awesome. I love that statement. Just real briefly, since we just passed Mother's Day not long ago, my mother passed away in 01, and I've told people, I do believe this, and kudos to mothers and moms. I think the word mom is the neatest word in the human language. There's just something about mom, and when you finish it, that M, it just resonates in your brain and your skull. I was
it's centering, right?
Yes.
Like the word om in the Indian language.
Exactly. There's just something very wholesome about it. And it just centers you or centers me emotionally. Fortunately, I had a great mother, and I know some people have not. And I can tell by the way that you're shaking your head that you had a good mother also. And so you have the keystone set before you as to how to be a great mother. Let's go back just a moment, Aditi. And you said that this program was initially designed just for you. And you started realizing the benefits of it. What was the moment in time where you had the aha time where you thought, go, whoa, this is so awesome. I've got to share it with the dental community. When was that? And what sparked it?
being in the trenches is what sparked it. You know, I started my first startup in 2010, and I had already been practicing dentistry for about 7 years before that. So I said, oh, I got this. I can do this. But running a business is very different from just being a dentist. You have so many challenges and hoops to go through, especially in a startup. First, you have to get people in the chair. Then you got to have those people in the chair accept your treatment so that you can get production going. And then the collections. It's the whole wheel. And what happened was I was not getting good case acceptance at this early point in my career. I was wondering why, what happened. You know, I had been practicing for 7 years, so what changed? You know, as dentists, we tend to always kind of blame ourselves for things that go wrong, right? And I would be constant, my son was only 2 years old at that time, so I would constantly be wondering, am I not educating the patients well? Am I not, maybe my communication skills are not so great, which I was confused about because I had been associating and presenting treatment plans for a couple of years before that. And, or is it the person I have up front who's presenting the treatment plan is not either educated enough or doesn't have the right skills, or maybe they don't have financing options. Who knows what it is? It was a problem. And I couldn't figure out where I was going wrong. Sometimes, like, and as a, you know, clinician, we need our perio chart. We need our x-rays. We need our visual exam. We need our tools to be able to diagnose a patient. And I just equated that to where are my tools to help me diagnose what's the problem in my business. It's easy for me to just look inward and say, it's me. I need to fix me. But if it's not me and it's something else, how would I know what it is unless I could see it? So I try to pull reports from my PMS, and those were very, you know, fuzzy and not clear. And my husband's an engineer, and he was like, well, this is not working, and you are just driving yourself star crazy. So he was like, okay, let me help you visualize it a little better. So he created spreadsheets. And I was like, you know, a dentist being a visual person, I was like, wow, a spreadsheet? This, I don't know, has made it better or worse. I can't tell. And then he was like, well, okay. He came up with, I think it was about a week or so later, I came home one day and he's like, hey, I have something for you. I think this will really help. And he had a dashboard, and he had created a dashboard for me, and I could tell exactly just by looking at it. It was so simple where my problem was, where are people dropping off. And it was like, you know, when you put on loops for the first time, John?
Oh, yeah.
It was, it was like that.
Whoa.
I kind of had that moment. I was like, whoa, this is eye-opening. It was. And I realized it was actually not having enough financing options available to my patients that was causing patients not to schedule. So I fixed that, obviously. And as soon as I fixed that, within, I would say, less than a month, my acceptance rate skyrocketed. So sometimes it's just knowing the simple things, right? Again, to me, it is like we are so clinicians, as clinicians, we are so fixated on we need to have the right tools for our diagnosis. I don't understand why people don't understand that they need the same tools to run their business.
That's interesting, Aditi. A couple of things, comments here. Number one is that your husband, being an engineer, obviously you had had discussions with him and you couldn't figure out what was going wrong. So he was understanding your PMS system from an engineer's perspective and hearing it from you from a dental perspective. So in his mind, he was able to kind of stitch those two spheres together and come up with a spreadsheet and kind of a, I'm going to say, infant dashboard.
Yes.
That gave you vital information that created a practice-changing revelation for you, didn't it?
It did. It really did. And kudos to my husband. I would say there are many husbands who support their wives or their significant others by, you know, saying, it'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
But
he
took it a step further. He's like, well, let's figure this out.
You bet. You bet. So let's not patronize. Let's encourage and create and be proactive. I love that. I can tell that's the way you've kind of run your life and your practice, and that's the way I was, Aditi, with mine, is I never could sit back and just kind of like, it'll be okay, just give it time and whatever, and just hope that the energies of the universe would come together at the same point in time and cause this cosmic blast in my practice that would go, boom, there you go. But that doesn't happen that way. You've got to really...
You know, it does and it doesn't,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but you still have to do the work.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying. The universe will help, but you still have to do the work.
Absolutely.
You can't just sit and hope for the best and pray for the rest, you know?
Yep.
You have to do the work.
You betcha. And that's where a lot of people fall short, is they want the dream, but they aren't willing to put forth the work and the commitment to get it there. You had your husband created the dashboard, and you had this epiphany.
Yes.
At the end of 1 month, that it was the lack of financial options available. Okay, before that, give me a guesstimation as to what your case acceptance percentage rate would have been.
You know, it was maybe, I would say, 35%.
Okay.
And it went up to 70%.
Okay.
Which was like, wow.
Yeah. Has it crawled a little bit further north from the 70 over time?
Yes.
Okay.
Over time, and now the community, it was a newer community when I first started my practice there. But of course, now I'm part of the community. It's definitely grown.
Okay.
It's grown enough for me, enable me to sit here and have this conversation with you.
Again, you know, as we spoke the other day, you know, my podcast is about helping the dental community grow their practices to a high degree of efficiency so that they can enjoy their practice, they can enjoy their patients, they can go home in the evening, enjoy their family, and also to niche. I think, you know, what you're talking about with this practice by numbers helps a practice niche. Even just niche themselves a little bit differently in general dentistry. You know, as I've shared with you, that I had a cosmetic practice and a lifestyle practice, and I absolutely loved it. And part of the key, Aditi, was the growth in my new patient acceptance, treatment acceptance. The interesting thing, and I love this, I think we've got two elements here that can help the audience really accelerate their practice. In our conference that we were at a few weeks ago, I'm not just listening to the speakers. I'm listening to certain phrases that they say and that I hear continuously throughout. And then the little sidebar meetings that we have in between speakers and out in the hallway and over lunch and whatever. I'm putting those together and I'm narrowing down common themes. And here's the common theme that I heard as a result of that conference, and you're shaking your head, knowing pretty much in anticipation of what I'm going to say, is that the success of the business and the success in dentistry also to a high degree is connection. And I think, Aditi, that we get a higher case acceptance the higher we go with the connection level with our patients, the higher probability that you're going to get case acceptance. Correct?
Completely agreed.
Yep. The way that I zeroed in on that, Aditi, with my patients is I kept my case presentations or my new guest conversations evolved around emotion and getting to know the patient. And once I knew them and we had emotionally connected, boom, I could sense it. I could see it in their posture. I could see it in their body language. I could hear it in their voice. The only thing that stood between that moment in time and them sitting in the dental chair were the finances.
Yeah.
Share with me now. We've got them to say yes because we have those masterful clinical communication skills. We know how to get them at a level of really authentic, great connection. How much does it cost and how are we going to pay for it? Now, you, in that, over that month, you changed things. What did you change about your financial options availability?
Well, you know, one thing we created various membership plans, right?
Okay.
We created, or we signed up with what you call it, companies like Care Credit that provide financing, or help people finance at least the bigger cases so that they can pay over time. And sometimes we would talk to them about, depending on how much the amount was and what it was, that I would say, okay, we can break it up and take a credit card on file and do it like an orthodontic payment, you know. Yeah, kind of like that. But of course, those patients generally had some kind of history with the practice. You can do that. You just have to be aware of your patient.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, they could pay in full. Did you give a prepaid discount?
I did not, actually.
Yeah, good for you.
I did not. Yeah.
Good for you. I did a 5% prepaid discount. I was comfortable with that because I was comfortable with my fee level. Mm-hmm. That I knew that in giving that 5%, there's something about Aditi, and I know you're going to know what I'm talking about. When you have the fee in your bank account, there's a more relaxed scenario mm-hmm. in the relationship with you with the patient. You're agreeing with that, I can tell.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And, you know, there was far less post-treatment issues. You know, we provided a great product, and I know you do too, for the patients.
Right.
But when there's money still on the account, invariably, patients would unjustifiably nitpick and try to create some degree of controversy in their mind, thinking, well, maybe they'll forget the last half of the treatment money or whatever.
I know.
No. The clearer your financial arrangements, the better the whole treatment's going to go.
Yep.
Without
yep.
question.
Absolutely.
So with your revelation, in that 1 month, it was to create multiple financial options for the patients.
Yes.
I heard a gentleman speak, and maybe it was at the conference, I don't recall, that when the patient leaves the practice and has not made a commitment, the probability of them committing later on dropped dramatically. Did you find that with your
yes.
software?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The minute they walk out the door, I would say the chances that they would schedule that treatment and is dropped by 50%.
Yeah.
It's dropped in half, for sure.
In your practice and with your software, I'm sure that you address this in setting up a system.
Yes.
To do yes. appropriate follow-up.
Yes, absolutely. We have cadences set up through the software. Those are completely customizable for each practice. You can define your cadence based on the way you run your practice. And my front desk doesn't have to look constantly follow it up because it is on what we call autopilot. And we send out unscheduled treatment reminders to our patients through via email. And it's automatically set up based on when they leave the practice, meaning the day they've come in. After that, if they have a treatment plan that's been created, there is an auto follow-up send out. You could send it out 2 weeks after, you know, a month after, 3 months after. The cadence you can set up based on, again, what your practice looks like. And the good thing is you can also, if you want to, can set up way to book online at the same time. So you are removing barriers to entry. Again, that's based on procedures, obviously, right? You have to be cognizant of that. Certain procedures, you want to see the patient before, right? But if there's some procedures they can schedule themselves, then why not?
Yeah.
Remove the barriers.
Correct.
Is what I
said. Correct. I agree with the fact that you said, you know, the follow-up system afterwards, patients are not likely to schedule once they leave that office. I took a lot of pressure off my staff and myself to nail down a yes that day. I would much rather have that patient leave as a friend
yes.
than leave frustrated or feel like they've been pressured, sensing the fact that, you know, we're wanting to reach for their billfold. And I think then at that point, Aditi, though, an office that has an awesome follow-up system, even knowing that the return on that system is not going to be very high, but still maintain the integrity of the relationship that you establish with the patient and the integrity of the individual themselves.
Letting them fall through the cracks.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they feel valued, John, about that. It's funny how patients say that, you know, the follow-ups help them because they think that helps them understand that we actually care about their oral health.
Correct.
And that's
correct.
Why we're reminding them,
yes.
you know, gently that, you know, you still need to get it done. You have treatment on the books. We care about you.
Yes.
And it's true. You know, we don't want decay to keep growing and having a party. So it's you know, it's a two-way relationship.
Right. And I think the follow-up system, Aditi, it needs to be a highly, highly skilled system. You can't just willy-nilly the conversation. You know, you have to really tune into that patient again and have a great conversation with them. You know, ask their permission to follow up. And if they say, now how about when I come back at my recall? Or let's say that they're not an active patient at this point. They came and they left and didn't, you know, just asking permission as to when. Because see, the thing about it, Aditi, we all think that patients come in there and that appointment is the most important thing in their life. And it isn't. And we have no idea what's going on in their life outside those doors, what they left in the car, what they left in the parking lot, what they left at home. And we get frustrated with ourselves. Like you said, what's wrong with me? And a lot of times it's not us. It's their own fit and readiness issues of their life that they have to get fixed. And sometimes they don't want to share those things because they're, you know, that's personal, but also they may be a little embarrassed about it. But a great follow-up system and having someone who is so skilled and kind and gentle in nature, but also can guide the conversation down the path that it needs to go, you have a higher probability of that patient going, wow, like you said, they really care about me. Maybe that treatment is more important than what I thought. You know, I want that a little bit more.
Absolutely. And, you know, the most amazing thing I'll tell you, John, that's worked wonders for my practice, believe it or not, is post-op instructions. So we have the ability in our software to create little 1-minute videos that basically goes over, say, you had an extraction, right? At home, this is what you need to do. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you have any problems, call the office. You won't believe how many people have referred their friends because they feel like the care has extended beyond the operatory. And I have had so many referrals from patients saying, we want to see Dr. Aditi in her practice because she cares about us because she took the time to send us a post-op video, which is also automated, by the way. Once you come in and do the treatment and leave that night, you'll get a video. You'll get a link of post-op instructions. You can add a video or you don't have to, but I do. And it's just a quick 1 minute, 5 things that you need to do after an extraction. And they patients love it. They said, because, you know, when you're in the chair as a patient, there's so much stress, and especially you're getting an extraction, then there's a lot of stress. People forget all the instructions you give them right then and there in the chair. So this has been an amazing practice builder for me, Really? Who'd have thought?
I have to laugh at that, Aditi, when you said, you know, a lot of patients, they forget what they're told in the chair because, the appointment's been stressful. They're frazzled at the end of the appointment. All they want to do is get out of there, and they go home. And the wife says, well, what did they tell you about the appointment? I don't know. My wife did that to me. You know, I went in for a medical appointment. You know, I did get these instructions. And I get home, she asked me that question. It's kind of like deer in headlights, you know. I'm not sure, Mary. Should we call them back? You know, dentistry is tricky. Dentistry is hard. Aditi, you know that, and I know that. And any way that we can reduce the stress and the anxiety for patients, it's always going to be there. But there's something about if we can create that atmosphere to where they feel soothed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really, really important.
I think, it is,
you know, extending the care beyond the operatory, that's how you would differentiate yourself.
Right.
I mean, from all the other GPs, because guess what? Now you're taking your practice up a notch just by doing a simple thing that is not related to learning a new procedure.
So Practice by the Numbers is a great dashboard to help grow your practice, sustain your practice, and help you understand your practice better so that you can pivot in the important places where your numbers are telling you that this isn't working. And see, I love that you were able to figure that out from your initial dashboard. What was important for you to look at and change? That's the thing. If information can be brought out to where it's not overwhelming, I think you said, or Rebecca did, that there's like 600 KPIs that are analyzed with. Okay, that's more than what I can pay attention to, Aditi.
And believe me, it's way more than what I can pay attention to, too. But you can customize them. You can drill down to whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can make it as little or as much as you want. So it's for the CPAs that want the 600 or the business managers that want the 600. But for you and me, I think if we can look at 10 or 15 of them,
yeah,
I think we're pretty solid.
Yeah. You know, I imagine all those 600, Aditi, that they can be grouped into groups of 20, 15 or whatever. And, you know, the numbers can be collated out of that to where we go, okay, here is what I need that is relevant for me. And like you said, let's just say PAs and the other people dance around the others. But, you know, the more that you can dig into all of those numbers and bring relevance from them, rather than just spewing stuff that is insignificant. And most PMS systems, that's kind of what they do, is they spew out information that really...
Difficult to decipher.
Yeah.
Difficult to decipher.
Yeah.
It is. I've tried all of them.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to understand and hard to find what you're looking for.
And quite honestly, at DD, some of those just were not relevant. Just weren't relevant. And I'm always kind of, give me the bottom line. And if the bottom line involves 10 KPIs, perfect. Then we know how to attack the process. So, you know, I'm proud of that you put this PBN together.
Yeah.
Very, very intuitive on your part, entrepreneurial. I love entrepreneurial individuals. There's always a zest for life, and there's an energy about people like that. That's why I, in visiting with you at the conference, I thought, you know, I got to spend some time with you, Aditi. And,
thank you, John.
Share any last little nuggets that you have for our audience. Obviously, Aditi, we're going to put on how the people connect with you on the show notes. And so we'll put that up and provide that for them. But what else would you like them to know about PBN?
You know, I will tell, this is for audience, you know, young and old, new dentists and seasoned dentists, don't be afraid of the data. Don't take it personally. That's another thing. We are all in different seasons of our career. We all know data doesn't lie, but that doesn't mean that if it's showing you or exposing, is the right word, a problem, there's two ways you can look at it. You can close that book and turn around and say, I didn't see it. You can say, I see it. Now let me see what I can do to fix it. The fix is not always easy. And I understand that. Believe me, as a practicing dentist, I have been through all of it. I've been an associate. I've started a startup. I've built a second startup. I still practice post-COVID with all the staffing issues that we're all facing. So I understand that sometimes the fix is not easy. But not doing anything at all is way worse than slowly trying to chip away at the problem. It doesn't have to be done in a day. It doesn't even have to be done in a month. But as long as it is recognized and addressed, and there is fear, and I understand that. I was fearful too. But it's only when you conquer your fears that you get to see sunshine. And here in Seattle, we're always chasing sunshine.
Aren't you though, Aditi? I wish you had more sunshine.
It's good. We really appreciate the sunshine.
I'll bet you do. You know, you said a couple of very interesting things there. Don't be afraid of the data. There's a lot of truth to that. The data does not lie. It's the facts. And don't be afraid of it, because it's going to give you vital information. And the other thing is, don't take it personally. Sometimes we do when we feel like we're exposed.
Yes, absolutely.
When the data comes out, we're exposed. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm not quite as good as I thought I was. But, you know, that's a great moment to be vulnerable to what's going on and saying, here I am, teach me, learn me. But most important, like you said earlier, you gotta do the work.
You will succeed. Success is right there. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If I can do it, I know 99% of the dentists out there can do it. You just have to do the work. Really. Conquer your fears and take that extra step. The next step is like, okay, I am going to understand what is going on so yeah. I can fix it.
Yeah. I love this, Aditi. I think your product is a great product. There's so many dashboards out there. I had one when I was in practice up to the end. It was not by dentists, by people outside, and it didn't provide for me the vital information that I was really looking for, and the clarity and the ease with which it can be presented to the staff or the staff manage it. So I'm excited about your product, and I'm glad you came on today with me and shared this. I want our audience to reach out to you. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to put your contact information up. I will look forward to the fact that when we get together again, you're going to say, wow, John, we had an enormous hit.
Absolutely. Every conversation, every contact, every meeting, it's an amazing hit every time, every person brings so many different things to this industry, to the table. And we're all in it for the better of the industry. You know, John and I, you are, I am, we do. Some of us are still doing our time in dentistry, but you've done your time in dentistry and it has given you a lot, right? In terms of your practice, in terms of your life. And this is your way of giving back. And my way of giving back is through practice by numbers.
Yeah. You know, we talked before we started Aditi, and I think this is an important little fact for us to share, is that you get to a certain point after you practice dentistry for a while or been in a business that you go through a transformation of transactional work to transformational work. And the transformational is where the beauty lies, because the transformational is a purpose-driven, a deeper purpose-driven component for business and your life. And I know exactly when Maya occurred. You shared with me when yours occurred. And it does. It puts you in a different element where you're doing these things not for the money. You're doing these for the purpose of helping people improve their lives from the products or the experiences that we've had, so they don't have to go through the trenches and sink in the deep waters and not be able to enjoy their practices.
Absolutely. We are trying. I think the generation of today or the dentist of today is so much luckier than we were. They have so many more resources that are easily accessible. We had to dig through books, dig through whatever archives to find resources to help us. But now they have resources at their fingertips. And that way it's easier for them to learn from my mistakes, from your mistakes, so that they can be better practice owners just at the get-go. So that's our vision, you know.
Our purpose is to help them so we can see them at the top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's a day well lived.
That is, isn't it? Aditi, this has been great. It's been real. I appreciate it. Your information is very important. I hope that people reach out to you. I love what we've talked about. I've enjoyed getting to know you. And it's all about connection and PBN.
Thank you.
So, audience, I appreciate you spending time with us today. I hope the information, I know the information that we've shared with you will have purpose and meaning for you and help you in your practice. Don't hesitate to reach out to Aditi and or myself if you need information or further direction. We'll be glad to help you either way. Make it a great day. And we'll see you next time.